And hello, people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is A Walk Through the Mind, a moment where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, and see if we can't take those ideas for ourselves and go out and get the conversation started with friends, family, the people we meet on the street, or maybe we just get those gears turning within our own heads and see where it takes us. So a couple weeks ago, sat down, had a brief little phone call with the Hog Story people, John and Carolyn, and we brought up the electric plug-in Hummer, a vehicle that gets just as good gas mileage in an electric as it did in a gas or diesel version. And I figured today we could chase down, we could talk cars for a little bit, see where it takes us on that one. But continuing on the topic of the electric Hummer, such a weird concept to me. A fantastic piece of machinery, as far as I understand. My short-term reading material is off-road magazines. I enjoy staying up and up to date on what's going on, and been seeing a lot of paperwork on what the new Hummer has capability-wise, and it seems like a really fun vehicle seems to be doing what it's advertised to do. But lo and behold, I stumbled across a news article that's out there bashing those crazy electric vehicles, these new things that are coming around on us. And one fun thing that the off-road community does, even though taking a Hummer off-road, as appropriate as it may sound, is not something that I would expect most people to do, even though it is off-road capable. There was a stand-up comedian that even made a joke. He went out and bought a Hummer, said they take you through a little off-road course, teach you how to drive over giant tree logs and through rivers, you know, the things you're never going to encounter in the mall parking lot. But then they take you for an on-road test, make sure that you understand the size of this vehicle. And they teach you getting up to speed and stopping that, again, larger vehicle, heavier vehicle. And then when you go on the freeway, make sure you know how to change lanes. You throw on the blinker and you just go, because it's a giant truck, and damn to anybody who is in that path. But this new electric Hummer, this article bashing on it, originates from a YouTube guy who goes out and reviews these vehicles and had an issue with the ground clearance. Wasn't tall enough, so he put bigger tires on it to make sure that he could get over obstacles. There'll be a link to his little story, his 30-minute video on this, in the show notes. But he had issues with the ride leveling situation. Not a new feature on cars, raising and lowering the suspension, but for whatever reason, having issues on the Hummer. But I guess that's not too big of a deal. It still did what it needed to do. Up until, as he was off-roading, the four-wheel drive system failed on him. And not in a great spot either. He's halfway through an obstacle, in a spot that you really didn't want to lose, drive or reverse. And this is actually not the first time he even lost drive or reverse. Previous time that this vehicle had failed him, it was in the turn lane on a rainy day, and all he had were windshield wipers and hazards. And on this event, this off-road event where he threw on the bigger tires, when he finally got out of this situation, four-wheel drive had failed. Now, failing on four-wheel drive in the off-road community, that's not unheard of, kind of how it goes. You go out, you break stuff, and you fix stuff on the trail, and you limp your way home. Kind of the fun way of doing things. The point in time when he got stuck in the middle of the freeway, the trick to it was disconnecting the battery and reconnecting it, and a hard reboot on the vehicle. And that's something that he considered in the off-road scenario, but just for getting the vehicle up and running to be able to get it out of the situation, he didn't feel like pulling the battery and then finding out that something else was broken. or didn't work. Because electric cars are not the same as your petrol-powered engines. The engine in a regular gas or diesel vehicle is the power plant. Then it goes through a transmission to change the direction or the torque values, the spinning of your engine, through a different gear down process to send it out. And then it goes through your axles, through your wheels to that 90 degree situation to send power. Whereas with electric vehicles, you got giant batteries, a whole bunch of wires, and motors at all four wheels, to keep it simple. Whole lot fewer moving parts, a lot more wire, a lot more copper, handful more individual motors, again, at each wheel. And outside of the scariness of getting stuck midway on a trail or getting stuck in the turn lane, the idea that rebooting the car, essentially, in the off-road scenario, all he did was turn the vehicle off and turn it back on. Again, with the intersection on the rainy day, that wasn't an intersection. It was in the turn lane before the intersection, but a matter of disconnecting the battery and reconnecting the battery. At my last job, there was a short period of time where I had to drive. It was called a hybrid vehicle, but it was an electric vehicle with a generator on it. Didn't work how I believe it should have been advertised. But there were a handful of times where I wasn't able to get the vehicle out of drive, and I would have to go out and disconnect the batteries, both of them, let the energy drain off of the computer system, and then turn them back on, and that hard reboot would work. Sometimes it would be fine for a day, a couple weeks. Sometimes I'd have to do it 2 to 3 times a day. But I wasn't a mechanic at work. I had another job title, and I wasn't allowed to be a mechanic, so I wasn't a mechanic. Wasn't allowed to talk to him about that. And so I don't know how simple it was on the Hummer. Didn't seem like just a flipping of a switch. Seems actually kind of detrimental on a regular old passenger vehicle. Someone be able to come up, flip the hardwired switch off and then back on, and all the doors unlock or whatever magic happens. But for your average everyday person, the car's not working. Once they figure out that trick, seems like a simple enough fix. Because it's a computer program running your car. Again, it's not physical things moving and smashing against each other and explosions. Just a program to run your car. And in theory, things might actually be cheaper, being able to get that up and running. But in the off-road course, when four-wheel drive failed, it seemed like safety precautions kicked in on the software side and said we had some movement and some things that we don't think should work as they're supposed to, or did things that they weren't supposed to. And so it went into safe mode. If you ever booted Windows into safe mode, you know you can't do much. But it gets you to a point where you can fix things. Then again, it got him at least off of the trail in safe mode. He didn't go into a breakdown of what had to be fixed. Maybe it happened on another video on his channel. I didn't chase that down. But these are things that we got to figure out as we go through with this forced change on electric vehicles, depending on what area of, at least the United States you live in, what area of country, what area of the world, depending on what our overlords feel is best for us. In other automotive news, it's been a short week, it seems. I haven't been able to pick and ponder. But again, news in general of vehicles seems to have popped up. And one thing that caught my mind is State Farm. I believe there's another insurance company out there in the world of vehicles. It was Seattle. Seattle brought this to the news, that State Farm will not be insuring certain models of Hyundais and Kias made between 2015 and 2019. Somehow there's a deal that was supposed to be standard on cars. When we think about anti-lock brakes, disc brakes, all of those come standard on every single car. They used to not come standard until enough of them were made that it became cheap enough and effective enough that we just equip everything with it. And then in 1997, we had the OBD, Onboard Diagnostics Port Number 2, as a unified idea. The USB-C of cars, so that way anybody could plug something in. And apparently, again, within 2015 to 2019, cars were supposed to come standard with some sort of chip within the key, so that way you can't just start the car by jamming a screwdriver in it. You needed to have a specific grounding resistance when the key was plugged into the ignition, so that way you could turn the car on. But these Hyundais and Kias, in this short little review of news, are hot ticket items because they're so easy to steal. And it seems kind of crummy, looking at it, that just because you didn't have this one feature, we're not going to insure your car. Now, I know there's Hondas out there, I think it's the early 2000s, it might even be into the 90s, that are supposed to be super easy to steal. Just kind of, again, jam the screwdriver in and you're off to the races. And yet those cars are still insured. We've still got cars back in the day that took two keys, a key for the door and a key for the ignition. And again, you pop the ignition out and you just start that car up and you're off and running. But those cars are still able to be insured. And under the terms of insurance, I think that at least a business decision makes sense. Don't want to pay everybody out for a brand new car because their car got stolen, or at least the Kelley Blue Book number. And in Seattle, you're required to have car insurance, but they don't actively check it. They do that here in Tennessee. You're required to have insurance, and I haven't figured out how they do it, but they actively monitor whether or not you have car insurance on your cars. So I look at these Kias and Hyundais. I wonder how that works out for individuals that have them. Driving down the road and you just happen to miss this news story to find out that you're not insured. You haven't checked your email or your mail, or your insurance company hasn't sent you the letter to say we're no longer going to insure your car unless you go out and you spend your own money to get a new security system installed on that. Law enforcement is handing out the clubs, the steering wheel locks that go out there. And it'll at least hold the thief off for another couple minutes before they run off with your car. But that doesn't necessarily fix the situation with insurance, because that's just a club. That's not the security system that you can show them a receipt for. But not to let Seattle run away with just one news story, there's a conversation going on with right-hand turns in Washington State. It's only proposed, hasn't been put up for a vote yet, but Washington State is considering limiting the places you're allowed to make a right-hand turn on. Senate Bill 5514 would prohibit drivers from making a right turn on a red light when they are within 1,000 feet of a child care center, public park or playground, recreation center, library, public transit center, hospital, or senior center. And all of this is to prevent traffic violence. Now, if you ask me, a car, a little bit heavier than me, I wouldn't take on a linebacker. They're usually a little bit heavier than me, moving a lot faster than me. Granted, a linebacker, if I'm in that situation, is probably aiming for me. Whereas a car, the person operating the car may not be aiming for you, unwittingly that they are the linebacker in this situation. And so they go to make a right on red. But because we got to protect everybody who's not paying attention, the seniors, the recreational center individuals, the libraries, all the places where people aren't paying attention, got to make sure you can't do a right on red. Now, if you ask me, if I'm inside the library, if I'm inside the recreation center, inside the senior center, I shouldn't have to worry about that linebacker coming for me. But as soon as I go onto the field of play, otherwise known as the road, lined up next to the sidewalk where I'm hanging out, there's usually a light shows a individual walking or a stop, a hand, palm facing forward telling me to stop. And I should be paying attention, but that's me. I guess that's just me concerned about linebackers running around on the field of play. But I guess there's a lot of people that do those things called California rolling stops, where they kind of slow down and then blast right through the red light or the stop sign. Maybe drivers in Washington are just not that aware of their situation, and they need to be held down, taken down a peg or two for not paying attention. And so we'll outlaw turning right on red. I guess that facilitates new right-hand turn arrows, more signs to be printed, and sign company people will be happy. Maybe we, and by we, I mean Seattleites, not me anymore, start investing in some red light cameras. Make sure that when the light is red, you just don't turn right. You're not allowed to. But it's still under consideration. Don't have to worry about that. But continuing on the point of paying attention, and to a point, maybe I've propagated a little bit of a false narrative, but not completely false, about this 2026 override switch that needs to be installed in vehicles. The ACTS, Automotive Coalition for Traffic Safety, this has already been passed in the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act, passed in November 2021, stipulates that there needs to be an override situation in a vehicle. Now, it's not super laser pointers that the cops get to point out and go pew pew and your car is turned off, but it's a monitoring system that they're hoping for to take care of inebriated drivers. Now, we've got this facial recognition software that's being installed and everything. Don't really have a right to privacy on things like that. But we do have all these sensors and features. I know I've gotten to rent one car that had the lane awareness feature, but didn't really have to worry about that. Wonder if I actually turned it off. Had a radar on the nose of the car, so for following distance. Don't really remember much about that car. But I do remember conversation I had with one of my friends about his personal vehicle. He was driving home late one night, long day at work, and maybe he kind of veered just a little bit close to the yellow line or white line, just one too many times. Maybe he was coloring perfectly fine in between the lines, but he just had a little bit of a wobble, and the accelerometer feature within the vehicle noticed that the vehicle was kind of drifting just enough. And it popped up with a warning saying that, you know, he was either too tired or was he inebriated or something and needs to pull over, or had an override feature again to kind of slow him down, kind of kick in the governor just a little bit earlier. Really ticked him off. This individual is really good driver, really clean driving record. I'd be willing to fall asleep in the back of the vehicle with my seatbelt off with him driving. Got no fears on that. But that nanny state kicking in saying, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You need to get off the road. Now this override switch is supposed to, it's not an override switch, but the false narrative of the override switch for this impaired driving situation. The thought process is that they'll be able to have a breathalyzer installed in every vehicle. Don't drink your cough syrup. Blow a bad reading, and you won't be allowed to drive. But I guess if it's installed from the factory, you don't have to worry about that. If you do get a DUI, whereas if you get a DUI, you got to fork out that change on your own to have the device installed. Then you got to pay the monthly or whatever it is upkeep. Then you got to pay to get it removed. So at least this is installed right off the bat. But it might not even be a blow-and-go feature. It might be a tissue spectroscopy. I can't speak today. Spectroscopy to measure the blood alcohol. And what they're proposing is it's at least a closed loop. This information will not leave the vehicle. You'll hop in the vehicle, you'll press your finger against whatever thing. It'll determine whether or not you're drunk. Hopefully you have blood flow going through your fingers. Hopefully you're not disabled. What's the word? Missing limbs, whatever that word is. So that way you're out of fingers, but you you're able to still drive. But this closed loop system won't leave the vehicle, ever. We won't have to worry about black boxes when, like, there are in airplanes that tells us every little thing that's wrong with, or every little thing that's happened in the course of driving. But that's not true either, because there are insurance companies that offer, I don't want to necessarily call them spy devices, but you get discounts for being a good driver. And so they use tracking systems. I had a coworker tell me about, there's a Bluetooth device that you just throw in the back of your car and reports all the information. There's other ones that plug into that onboard diagnostics port in the vehicle. The fun little thing about those is they do monitor. They're able to see how fast you're driving, how hard you're braking, what your speed is. And if they got the GPS enabled, they can find your parking location. They can calculate your mileage and your trip data. Make sure that you're not lying to them when you tell them how many miles you drive in a year, how far you drive to work. But you get a discount because you're a safe driver, unless you have a different device that actually tells them if you accelerate too fast or if you make too sharp of a turn. Was that because you were avoiding a pothole or speeding through a school zone and avoiding a kid? Was someone coming the wrong way on the road? Was there a situation where speeding was actually the appropriate situation to get you out of a dangerous point? All of this kind of adds up. Stacks together doesn't mean that it's bad. Again, maybe my little level of paranoia gets me in these situations where I just overreact to it. There's a point to being, to playing by the rules to make sure that everything is going as we're supposed to be doing. Everybody getting along nice and cozy and easy. But at what point does it become oppressive? Or is the technology again there to help us so that way we do make the correct decisions. We're not out there endangering people. It becomes easier to fix and repair because it's just a simple programming feature. But what happens when I overwrite the programming feature? I buy my car in cash. I want to get rid of that safe mode situation that prevents me from using four-wheel drive because of whatever reason the computer found unacceptable. Have I violated my warranty? Does that affect the black box data for my insurance company and I no longer get my little discount? Or do we write a program to override but yet still make it look as if we're doing everything by the book? I don't know. Kind of all bouncing around again. Kind of a rough week for me. But these are talking points. These are ideas. Things to get the gears turning within our own head and see where it takes us. Hopefully, get you thinking about cars this week. If not, well, you must have hit stop a while ago and I'm still rambling into a microphone. To all the poor people that are still listening, thank you. I'm Billy Bones, BillyBone, the number 3S. Find me on Twitter, @BillyBones. Find me on Mastodon, the Fediverse, @BillyBones, @NoAgendaSocial.com. I've got a website, BillyBones.com. Remember, that's spelled with a number 3 instead of an E. BillyBond 3S. And there you can find show notes. Got a handful in here today. Links to past episodes, link to the SoundCloud, and a link that says Value for Value. I release this podcast for free without any commercials or advertisers, people influencing what I can or cannot say, in hopes that you find value out of it. And if you did, the first thing that I ask that you do is you give this show a share. Share it with someone. See if they get, again, those ideas, those talking points. But if you feel it was worth a monetary value, be that Federal Reserve Freedom Units, otherwise known as the U.S. dollar, click that Value for Value button on the website and it'll take you to PayPal and you can support the show, like today's executive producer, Lady Get Over It, sent in her monthly $10 donation. Thank you very much, ma'am. Keeping this show alive, keeping the bills paid. But if you feel that it's worth Satoshis, teeny tiny bits of Bitcoin, and you got one of those new podcast apps, podcasting 2.0 compliant, newpodcastapps.com, you send in couple of Satoshis. Let me know you found it worthwhile. And the music is over. What kind of professional production is this? Thank you for listening. I love you guys. And I'll talk to you next week.